What a comfort to know God is holding our hand and that we can trust in Him. Amen. If you look inside your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's study. We're in a series called 40 Days of Focused Prayer. And today we're going to be looking at a beginner's guide to prayer. And I'm going to ask all of you that are able to please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. We'll be reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Let us pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Holy Spirit, encourage us to pray. Heavenly Father, hear us when we pray. Speak to us now, God, through your word, for we make our petition in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You might think that the subject of prayer would be easy, a easy topic to speak on. If you do a search in your Bible, prayer is mentioned 545 times. So it would take you a while just to look up every one of those verses, let alone try to study all of those verses. And if you were to get on your computer and you were to go to Google and you were to type in the word prayer, you would find that there are 845 million websites with prayer on it. Out of that 845 million, you'd find out that there's 195 million videos on prayer. 121 million books on prayer. And 59 million news articles on prayer. So with a subject that big and that wide and that broad, where do you start? Well, today we're going to start with a beginner's guide. I want to begin by telling you that, you know, being a pastor for 40 years, I've learned a couple of facts about prayer. I want to share three of them with you. The first one is this. Our Creator has hardwired us for prayer. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, "Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. Even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end." You understand that everybody prays? Everybody prays. Nobody is left out of the equation. Christians pray. Jews pray. Muslims pray. Buddhists pray. Hindus pray. Atheists pray. I found it amazing, according to the Pew Research Council, 12% of atheists pray every single day. I find that amazing. Everybody prays. Did you know every culture prays? Whether you go to South America, whether you go to some remote island, or whether you go to the highest places in Western civilization, whether you go back thousands of years or whether you're talking about today, in every culture, people pray. Why? Why? Well, God has hardwired you that way. God has put eternity in your heart. You see, deep down inside of you, you know that there is more to life than just the here and now. There is something after this life. There is something beyond earth. God has put that in the hearts of human beings. Here's a second fact that I know about prayer, and that is, we're not very good at it. We're not very good at praying. Notice there, the disciple came to Jesus. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Why did John have to teach his disciples to pray? How to pray? Because we're lousy at it. Why did the disciple come and say, Jesus, teach us how to pray? Because they weren't very good at it. This past week, I sent out an email to our AG email group. There's about 535 people that's on that list. If you're not on that list, just put down your email address on your connection card, and we will add you to the list. But I got hundreds of replies back from the email, and I said, I have one question. What is one word or one phrase you would use to describe prayer? The very first one that I received back was one word. Confused. I received some others that said frustrated. I had one that I feel like sums it up for a lot of people, and that is inadequate. I just feel inadequate when it comes to prayer. Now, I did get some positive responses where people said peace, or they said power, or they said security, or they said calm, or they said a lifeline to God. But how many of us would just be honest and say, we struggle with this whole area about praying. You may pray, but do you really feel like you're good at it? I have never met anyone that says, hey, you know what? I am outstanding at praying. I've never met anybody that had a PhD in praying. I've never had anybody say, I'm a pro at praying. We struggle. We're not very good at praying. Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit also comes to help us, weak as we are. For we do not know how we ought to pray. The Spirit Himself pleads with God for us in groans that words cannot express. Who do you think is the greatest Christian that has ever lived? I believe the greatest Christian that has ever lived was the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, in this letter to the Romans, notice there what it says, for we don't know how we ought to pray. If Paul struggled with praying, how much more do we struggle with praying? Think about the disciples. They had seen and heard Jesus teach and preach. I don't know about you, but I believe Jesus is the greatest teacher who's ever lived. I believe He's the greatest preacher who's ever preached. And I think if you could have sat under and heard His teaching and preaching, you might have said, oh, Jesus, teach me how to preach like You preach. But they didn't. They saw all the miracles. They saw Jesus raise the dead. They saw Him walk on water, give sight to the blind. You think they would have said, Jesus, teach us how to do miracles. Listen, if Jesus would have taught them how to raise the dead, we wouldn't have 9 families on our bereavement. Because if I knew how to raise the dead, I'd go over and raise them up. Now, they'd probably get mad at me if they had to come back from heaven. But the only thing that I've ever read in God's Word is that they asked Jesus to teach them how to do is to teach them how to pray. I believe they looked at Jesus' life and they said, the hand of God and the power of God is upon Jesus, and the secret to His power is His prayer life. If we could ever pray like Jesus, we could preach like Jesus. If we could ever pray like Jesus, we could heal like Jesus. If we could ever pray like Jesus, we could live like Jesus. Lord, teach us to pray. And then a third fact that I have learned is a lot of our misconceptions about prayer causes us to be frustrated with prayer. James 4:3 says, and when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You only want what you will give you pleasure. That is, growing up, you've heard a lot of lies about praying. You've heard a lot of myths. Legends, misinformation. Today in politics, we call it fake news. You've got some fake news when it comes about praying. And because you have some misconceptions about praying, you get frustrated when it doesn't turn out the way you think it should. Let me give you a couple of these. This is not an exclusive list, but prayer is not a magic wand. There's a series of books and movies called Harry Potter. Harry Potter has sold more books than any nonfiction book that's ever been written. 500 million Harry Potter books have been sold. The movies and the books have generated some $27 billion in revenue. The main character in Harry Potter is Harry Potter. And he's a young wizard. And he's learning to use his wizard skills. And he has a little stick. And he's learning if he'll wave it the right way and say the right word with the right way, all of the circumstances will suddenly change. And there's some of you, and that's how you see prayer. It's like Harry Potter's wand. If I just learn the right words, if I just learn the right phrases, and I say it the right way, all of my circumstances is going to change. Well, prayer is not a magic wand. It's not a genie in a bottle. You can't rub a genie. A bottle and a genie appear. You can't get a certain prayer and God's going to appear and God is going to do your bidding. You are God's servant. God is not your servant. No matter how you pray, He's always going to be God and you are not. It is not learning some magic spell. It's not hocus pocus, I get the promotion. Doesn't work that way. Number two, a second misconception that causes people to be frustrated is that prayer is not a fire extinguisher. You've seen the fire extinguisher and it's in a case and it's got a piece of glass and it has red letters on it. It says, in case of emergency, break the glass. You see, some people think the only time you pray is when you have an emergency. Oh my gosh, a hurricane is coming. We better pray. Sometimes it's a last resort. Oh, has it come down to that, that the only thing we can do is pray? Prayer is not a fire extinguisher. And then number three, prayer is not a tug of war with God. You know, if you just ask God enough, if you just badger God enough, if you just plead with God enough, if you just bug God enough, He'll finally say, Uncle, and give you what you want. Have you ever seen the viral video of the little 3-year-old boy and he's making his case for a cupcake with his mother? But his mother's name's Linda, but he doesn't call her by the name. He says, Linda, 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 listen. Linda, Linda, honey, honey, listen. And he's just begging and pleading for that cupcake. And a lot of people think that's the way it is with prayer. You know, if I just plead and if I just beg and if I just bug God enough, if prayer is a tug of war when in the end I win out and God gives me what I want. Not how prayer works. And then number three, prayer is not a ritual to relieve your guilt. Some of you grew up in a tradition that taught you that if you had sin in your life, especially if you had a really bad sin in your life, that you, as punishment for your sin, had to pray so many prayers over and over again, and that was your punishment for being bad. Folks, that is not biblical. That is not of God. That has absolutely nothing to do with prayer. Have you seen the scandal that's been going on this week in the media concerning rich people buying their dumb kids into Ivy League schools? Now, I'm not being mean. I'm just saying, you know, if their kids were smart enough, they could have got in there without having to be bribed. What I want you to understand is God's not that way. You don't have to bribe God. All you have to do is come to God with a sincere heart. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be famous. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be a saint. All you have to do is to come to God in a childlike faith. So I want to share with you this morning four foundational pillars for prayer. And this will be the basis for everything that we're going to say in the weeks to come. The first pillar is God loves for me to talk with Him about everything. Now, this is going to be a revelation for some of you. God wants you to talk to Him about everything. God just doesn't want you to talk to Him about spiritual things. God just doesn't want you to talk to Him about biblical things. God wants you to talk to Him about everything. And He loves for you to talk to Him. Notice here, prayer is not religious talk. In Psalm 103, verse 13, the Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who reverence Him. You exist today because God loves you. You exist today because God wants to show His love to you. You exist today because God wants you to love Him back. And because God loves you, He is interested in the things that you're interested in. Have you ever noticed that when you love somebody, whatever they're interested in, you're interested in? My oldest son, when he was in elementary school, he was interested in soccer. I never understood soccer. I mean, most soccer matches are 1-0. That's really exciting entertainment. But you know what? While he was in elementary school, what did I do? I went to every soccer game and every soccer practice he had. Was it because I loved soccer? No. It was because I loved the little boy that was on the field. I was interested in it because he was interested in it. You understand that God is interested in everything in your life. And He is interested in those things because He loves you. Later on, my younger son got interested in dirt bikes and dirt bike racing. And you know, that's absolutely frightening. They get to rearing that thing up and go flying down there on that motorcycle and hit that ramp and go higher in the air than this building is tall. And then they hit the ground and go like this right here, you know, and as a parent, it just scares you to death. But I would go out there and I would watch him race. Why? He was interested in it. He was interested in it. I was interested because I was interested in Him. God loves for you to talk to Him about anything and everything. Guys, you understand what I'm saying here? God wants you. Joe, God wants you to talk to Him about golf. Why is that? Because you're interested in it. God's interested in golf because He's interested in Joe, and Joe is interested in golf. Well, he's interested in you too, Dale. Joe and Dale play golf. So you understand that you can talk to God about golf. You can talk to Him about hunting. You can talk to Him about fishing. You can talk to Him about cooking. You can talk to Him about gardening. You can talk to God about anything and everything. And God loves it when you talk to Him about everything. Notice here that prayer is a conversation with the Father. In 1 John chapter 5, we read, and we are confident that He hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases Him. And since we know He hears us when we make our request, we also know that He will give us what we ask for. Notice here, we can come to God with confidence. That if what I'm asking Him for, if it pleases Him, then it pleases God to give it to me. It's a conversation. I go to God and I talk to God. Well, when you have a conversation with other people, how does that work? Do you talk? They talk? Sometimes do you just sit there? Well, conversation with God works the same way. How do we learn to talk to start with? And by the way, let me just tell you, if you're not one that prays very much and you're not very good at praying, can I tell you God still loves you anyway? I remember when my children were born. Did you know what? They couldn't talk. They couldn't do anything except spit and poop. I mean, that's all they could do when they was born. But you know what? I loved them anyway. Before they could even talk, before they even tried to talk, I loved them anyway. Well, guess what? God loves you anyway, whether you talk to Him or not, but God longs to hear from you. But how do kids learn how to talk? They learn it by watching other people. They learn how to talk. All right, so get that now. Parents, your kids are going to talk like you. Why? They're learning how to talk by watching you. And so prayer is simply the love language of the child of God to his Father. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, most of you are, you know verse 11, but notice verse 12. I say this because I know what I'm planning for you, says the Lord. I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you a hope and a good future. Then you will call my name, you will come to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You know, sometimes you just need to get along with God and not say anything. Just get quiet and still before God and say, God, do you have anything that you would like to say to me? And you'd be surprised at the things that God will speak to your heart, that God will bring to your mind, that God will speak to you. Now, you'll understand that if you start out praying, you may not be a prayer warrior but like somebody that's been praying for 50 or 60 years. But you know, God's not impressed by how well you pray. What God is looking for is for you to talk to Him as the Father. Parents, your kids ever draw you a picture? They ever draw you a picture and you don't even know what it is. You know, when they first start drawing, it's just scribble. And you look at it and you say, oh, that's beautiful. Oh, that's perfect. Huh? You remember saying that? Now, was it a Rembrandt? Was it a Picasso? Was it, you know, a great work of art? No, when you said it's a masterpiece, what did you mean? It was a masterpiece for them. It was a masterpiece for that age. Did you know the same thing is true when you come to God? God looks at your heart. God looks at where you're at in life. Now, in my study, I have thousands of books about the Bible. I've got stuff on the wall, the Lord's Prayer, got picture of Jesus up there, got all kinds of spiritual things, biblical things on the wall in my study. But did you know I also have a picture up there that my son drew when he was a child? It's a fellow standing up. It's a stick man standing up in a tree stand. And he's holding a rifle. He even drew a little scope on it. And down here on the other end is a 40-point book. Okay? I mean, I think he put it just as many as he could. Well, that's been hanging up in my office for 12 or 15 years. You might come in and say, wow, this here's not very spiritual. Well, you see, I see it, and it reminds me of him, and I'm reminded that he drew it for his daddy. And because he was interested in it, I'm interested, and it speaks to my heart. And the same thing is true with God. God loves for you to talk to Him about everything. The second pillar is this. God listens to prayers that are simple and secure. Simple and sincere. In Matthew's Gospel, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, and when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Jesus said, don't be like the hypocrites. They're out on the street corners. They're in the places of prominence in the temple. And they're only there to impress other people. If you pray to impress other people, you will not impress God. But he said, do not make vain repetitions. That is, don't say the same stuff over and over and over and over and over again to God. God is not impressed by Shakespeare language. But some people, you hear them pray, and it's like, well, they're going to try to impress God. Oh, thou great potentate of the universe, I beseech thee that thou may bestowest upon me all of the blessings of the celestial heaven. I think God just wants to throw up when you pray like that. You see, God hears the simple, sincere prayer. When you say something like, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. All eternity changes because of a simple prayer. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. When I first got saved in my home church, we had a fellow, and when he would pray, it would sound like he was reading poetry. Oh, it was so beautiful. I thought, wow, I'll never be able to pray like that. But then one day we have an old boy. I think he had a fourth grade education. He is a painter by trade. His name was Joe. The pastor called on Joe to pray, and Joe prayed something like this. Dear God, it's Joe again. Lord, I just need to talk to you for a minute. And man, you talk about something that really spoke to my heart. Here was a guy who just prayed so simple and so sincere, and all of a sudden I saw for the first time that God is not impressed by whether or not my language is flowing like poetry. God just wants the simple, sincere prayer of the child of God to be poured out to Him. That's the kind of praying that God wants. That's the kind of praying that God honors. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us come near to God with a sincere heart and a sure faith. Do you understand? A longer prayer is not a stronger prayer. God is not impressed with how many words or how big they are. God is looking for your heart. The third pillar I want to mention to you today is God likes to show His grace by answering prayer. In Jeremiah 33:3, come to me and I will answer you. I will tell you marvelous and wonderful things that you could never figure out on your own. God is a good God. We sing a song around here. I love it. And it's called Good, Good Father. God is a good, good Father. And as a good God, He wants to show you His grace by answering your prayers. Now, does that mean that every time you ask God to do something, He's going to give it to you? No. Let me ask you this. Would a loving parent give their child everything that they ask for every time they ask it? No. Why is that? Well, sometimes you would say no because you're trying to protect them. Sometimes you may say no because you're trying to direct them. Sometimes you may say no because you have something better for them than what they're asking for. Every once in a while, I'll run into somebody, and they're mad at God. And they're mad at God because they prayed, they asked God to do something, and God didn't do what they asked God to do. And they'll say to me, God doesn't answer prayer. I said, oh, yes, He does. He didn't answer my prayer. Yes, He did. No, He didn't. He did. He answered no. You see, when you pray to God, there's four possibilities. Yes, no, not yet. And you got to be kidding. Yeah. But you see, when you ask God for something, and it's something that is in His will and it pleases God, God longs to do that for you because it shows you His grace. In Matthew 7:11, it says, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give you good gifts to those who ask Him? If you ask God, and it's in His will, what's God going to do? He's going to give it to you. Why? He likes to give you good gifts. But get this, God is not a vending machine. What is a vending machine? That is a machine you go up to, and it's got all kinds of goodies in it, right? And if you put in the right kind of change and you press the right kind of button, you get whatever it is that you want out of the vending machine. Well, prayer is not you getting a certain amount of numbers, knowing a certain amount of words, following a certain formula to get what you want from God, the vending machine. God is a good father, and He gives good gifts to His children. But sometimes we ask God to do things, and God says no. I don't know why God says no. My dad was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. The doctor said he had 3 months to live. I want you to know I prayed and fasted for my daddy's healing. My dad was only 67 years old. You know, we're all supposed to live 78.6 years. I mean, you know, God, His time's not up. It's too early for Him. God already buried my mama when she was 40. I need my dad. Not only that, but he came and I got the elders of the church and we anointed him with oil and we prayed over him for his healing. And you want me to tell you what God did? God healed my father permanently instead of temporarily. That is, God healed him by taking him to heaven. Now, did I get mad and angry at God? No. Did I understand why He said no? I do not. But here's what I know. When I don't understand God's hand, I can trust God's heart because He is a good, good Father who gives good, good gifts to His children. And God does that to show me His grace. Folks, I want you to know I don't deserve anything from God. Everything that God gives me is because of His grace. Notice here in James 4:2, you do not have because you do not ask God. When you and I don't pray, we miss out on God's best. Read a story about a man who had a dream. Now, sometimes you have dreams just because you had bad pizza before you went to bed, but sometimes you can have a dream and God's trying to tell you something. You don't believe that? Ask God, He says. This fellow had a dream, and in his dream, he went to heaven, and when he went to heaven, he came by this great big warehouse that had his name on it. You imagine that, Tim Hepler, going to heaven, and you're walking down Gold Boulevard, and there's a big warehouse that has Tim Hepler's name on it. He said to the angel, he said, "What is that?" He said, "Oh, that right there is a warehouse full of the blessings of God." And he walks in there and he sees all of these blessings of God. He said, "What are these doing in the warehouse?" He said, "Well, God had these good gifts He wanted to give you, but you never asked for them, so they're just sitting here in the warehouse." You see, God longs for you to speak to Him and talk to Him that He might give you His good gifts so that He could show you and the world that He is a gracious God. He is a good God. He's a generous God who gives to His children. And then number four, this may be the most important thing that you'll hear today in this message, and that is God longs to be close to me. You know what prayer is? It's just getting close to God. Isaiah 30 and verse 18. "Yet the Lord still waits for you to come to Him so He can show you His love." Did you know if you love somebody, you like being around them? If you love somebody, you like talking to them. If you love somebody and they're not around, you miss them. Steve, I remember when we went to Gulfport the first time. We were gone for 8 days. That's the longest I'd ever been away from Teresa, 8 days. Now, down there in Gulfport, I could call her every day on my cell phone. The beginning of the day, the end of the day, I could call and talk to her. Now, we went down there as a caravan. We had the bus, we had the trailer, we had all of this stuff, but I drove my vehicle because I said, "Now, Steve, if there's an emergency back home, I don't need to be able to get back home." I think it took us 12 hours to get down there. Well, by 8 days, I was so homesick. I told the rest of them when we loaded up to get back, I said, "Hey, I'm going to put the pedal to the metal, and if you guys can keep up, keep up." Tony Milholland said, "Preacher, I'm riding with you." We got back in 8 hours. It took 12 hours to get down there. I got back in 8. I couldn't wait to get home. And then we went to the Ukraine. We was gone for 16 days. I didn't get to talk to her but twice because it was $3 a minute. Okay? And I want you to know I got homesick. Let me tell you, I didn't get homesick for hamburgers and french fries. I wasn't homesick for America. I was homesick for the people that I love. I wanted to be near them. I wanted to be close to them. I wanted to talk to them. You understand that that's how God feels about you. God made you to love you. God wants you to love Him. God wants to be close to you. Hosea 6:6 says, I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. God wants you to know Him. God wants you to love Him. Now, I'm going to say this, and listen close. I know God better than I know any of you. Why is that? I've known Him longer than I've known you. I have studied Him more than I have studied you. I have talked to Him more than I've talked to you. And I've spent more time with Him than I've talked to you. And here's what I know. I know that God loves me. I know that God loves you. I hear God speak to me. I believe God wants you to hear Him just as much as I hear Him. I believe God wants to love you and experience His love. But the only way that we do that is through prayer, when we come close to God. He comes close to us. He wants to hear from you all the time. This coming Saturday, it will be 44 years since my mother went to heaven. I haven't heard my mother's voice in 44 years. Sometimes I try to get still and quiet and just remember a scene and see if I can just remember her voice. My little sister has a lot of the stuff that was in the home. And I've asked her, I said, see if you can go through there. Because back then, we didn't have video cameras and all that stuff. But we had cassettes. And I said, I know that some of those cassettes have got to have Mama's voice on it. I just want to hear her voice one more time. I'm wondering how many times God wonders when you're going to speak to Him. I wonder how many times God would just love to hear your voice during the day. And folks, you don't have to be on your knees. You don't have to pray a big flowery prayer. Sometimes all you have to do is just in the middle of the day say, Father, I love you. There's not a better prayer than that. Father, I love you. God longs to be close to us. In Psalm 25 and verse 14, it says, friendship with God is reserved for those who reverence Him. With them alone, He shares the secrets of His covenant. Wow. The God of the universe, the Creator of everything, wants to be my friend. He wants to be your friend. It says of Abraham, Abraham was a friend of God. Oh, what would it be like to tell folks, hey, I'm a friend of Michael Jordan, huh? Of some famous person or some powerful person. Listen, you can say, I am a friend of God. There's not a more influential, powerful person that you can be a friend of. And yet God wants to be that close to you. And then lastly, James 4:8 says, and when you draw close to God, God will draw close to you. The closer I am to God, the less stressed I am. The closer I am to God, the more blessed I am. Yesterday afternoon, I was over at my son's house. And when I walked in, my little grandson looked up and he saw me. Big smile came on his face. He stuck his little old hands up and he said, Paul, pick me up. I reached down there and picked him up. And he put his arms around me and squeezed my neck. And then when he got through, he looked back and put his hands on my face. And he looked in my eyes and he said, "Paul, I love you." Friend, do you understand that's what prayer is? That's when you come to God as a little child, say, "God, pick me up. God, put me in your arms." And in prayer, God reaches down and He picks you up. And you can touch the face of God with your prayers. And in your prayers, you can say, "God, I love you. I love you, Abba. I love you, Father." Friend, that's what praying's all about. Praying's about getting close to God. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Nobody's looking around. I'm wondering who's here today would come and pray a simple prayer to God. "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And you'd be born again into God's family. I'm wondering who's here is already one of God's children, and you'd come to this altar this morning and you'd say, "Lord, pick me up. Lord, put your arms around me. Lord, love on me today. I need a touch from you, Father." Would you come today and cast your care on Him? Would you come today and say, "Lord, teach me how to pray"? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you as simply as we know how. Say, "God, we love you. Thank you, God, for loving us. Teach us, God, how to pray." Lord, may we draw close to you at this time. We'll make our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Would stand as we sing. We invite you to come.